If you want a little show and you don't know where to go, put on your headphones and hit the mark.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to Hit the Mark with Mark Levy. This is your host, Mark Levy. Of course, giant thank you to Mike Romanos and everyone that's been doing the show recently. I've been so happy with how everything's going, and I'm a very happy podcast host, and that's good. I apologize I'm missing this week's Monday's episode, this past Monday's episode. As you were probably aware, you're like, why is there no episode on like the beginning teens of May? It's because I unfortunately was a little busy, but you know, things happen, and you know, been doing a lot of stuff, a lot of good things. Weird personal note for myself. Tuesday night, this past Tuesday night, which was the 12th of May, I did stand up for the first time, which was terrifying and amazing. I'm going to do it again. So, because it was a good experience, which is amazing and shocking to me because I was scared shitless. I was shaking the whole time. But for long-time listeners and long-time friends of mine, you would know that I've been wanting to do stand-up for a very, very long time and have been a coward my whole life about it until I put a show together that basically required me to do stand-up. Didn't require me, but the show's called Never Have I Ever. It's happening again in June. Let me know if you want to do it. Message me on Facebook or whatever. Or email the show, hgmpod@gmail.com. So of course, you can support the show in many, many different ways. Easiest way, go to iTunes, rate us, review us, 5-star review. Today's quote for a free shirt: I love Hit the Mark, and I love listening to a stand-up. Do stand-up at my show. If you post it on iTunes and make a screenshot of that and like email it to hgmpod@gmail.com, you will get yourself a free Hit the Mark shirt. Woohoo! And it'll also maybe help me become a better stand-up comedian quicker. I don't know. I will say this. I wrote a very funny joke yesterday in my timeline. Not this timeline, because this timeline's a few days. I'm in the past. You're in the future, as you're aware. My guess is really confused. This airs on Monday, so yeah.
I'm in the past. I get it.
Yeah, we're in the past. Yeah. But I mean, really, when you think about like everything's in the past.
Everything is the past.
Everything, except for the future. But we don't know what the future is going to bring. This is getting really weird, and it's only 2 minutes in. I haven't even introduced the guest yet, which is great, but I'm okay, whatever. Zazzle, we have, if you go to Zazzle.com, we have a store, buy shirts, hats, and mugs, you know, the spiel there. And of course, go hit themark.podomatic.com. You'll see all 194 episodes, plus the unnumbered episodes. And on the right hand side of the screen, you'll see a PayPal button, and it will have it'll have a link to PayPal, and it'll help support the show. Donate as much or as little as you want. It's a free show, and I like it that way because it's, you know, it's good. I don't think podcasts should cost money. Today's guest, Devin Ritchie, I'll be talking to him very shortly. But first, I want to do a quick film review. I saw a film that I feel like should be reviewed because it's a complicated movie. The D-Train. It's a movie that was pretty popular in Sundance this year. You might have heard of it. It's the movie with Jack Black and James Marsden. It was just released and really flopped in theaters because they did not know how to promote the movie in commercials because it looked like adults being teen comedy. It is like a very dark comedy. It's well written. Really well written. It's not great direction, but if you're a fan of Jack Black, I highly recommend everything about the film because he plays this guy who is a guy who's like the committee of his alumni association of like a shitty college, of a shitty high school in Pennsylvania. And they're having people, trying to get people to come to their 20th anniversary. And he basically sees one night an alum on a commercial. That like a national like banana boat commercial. He's like, oh my god, I recognize that guy, and he goes out to L.A. under false pretenses to go try to get him to come to the reunion. And what happens in L.A. is lots of drugs, lots of partying, which happens very quickly in the movie. And then they do something very out of character for their characters. I don't want to go much further than that because it's a pretty interesting shock. And it changes the way they all think about everything. But the movie itself is not terrible. It's not great, but the performances are really good. Jack Black is really good at this type of stuff, at like really desperate people. The story, the idea is fantastic. The direction's a little weak. It just misses the mark. And that's my opinion about that film. All right, so today's guest, oh my God, I love this dude. He's been a great friend of mine for several years. Been why I'm on the show for a while. He's finally just gotten to Lloyd Knight on This Old House, which is a team of, like, pretty much almost everyone on the team is on this podcast, almost.
Oh, really?
Almost.
Yeah?
At least half, for sure.
Okay.
let me think. Fancy Man, which is a team that I also fucking adore.
Yeah.
He is on a Christian Capizzoli team that does not have a name yet. You know him, you love him, Devin Ritchie.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great. I'm great. Love this neighborhood.
And yeah.
Crown Heights, this is where we are, right?
No, we're in Park Slope.
Okay.
It's, like, yeah, because we're, like, in North Park Slope, so it's, like, in that weird area where, like, Crown Heights is, like, five blocks away. Prospect Heights is, like, seven blocks away. And, we're, like, in real Park Slope.
I see. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
It's gorgeous, yeah.
Thank you, yeah. I love it. I mean, I've lived here for since end of August last year.
Yeah, I remember you moved, yeah.
Yeah.
You were in Queens before.
Yep, I was in Astoria, and now I'm in Brooklyn, and I love it.
Great.
Got a great roommate who's on the show last week. Uh-huh. You'll probably hear him chime in probably briefly in this episode. Don't know yet, but...
Great. I feel like I hear him in the shower.
Oh, yeah, he is showering.
Yes. How was your stand-up?
Shockingly really good. I was really nervous, and...
At Treehouse?
Yeah, it happened at the show that I host, Never Have I Ever.
Okay.
I knew most of the audience.
Okay.
But, like, people that, like, I really trust that, like, would not lie to me about stuff, like Mike Kelton.
Sure.
Were in the audience, and they're like, no, that was actually not bad. So...
Great.
I'm gonna do it again and see, I might be doing an open mic today, actually.
Where?
At the UCB one. Go over there and draw like 14 names.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't do stand up at all. Like,
yeah.
I'm scared of it too.
It's like the most scary thing in the world to me. Like, because like, I write plays, which is like in theory like halfway to stand up. Because like, you know, if it's a comedic play,
sure.
Like you're like, this is my voice. You'll find this funny, hopefully. Yeah. And you know, stand up, it's like, this is my joke. This is my voice. Please find it funny.
Yeah, I'm at the point now where people are like, oh, you should do my show. And I'm like, what? Me? Is just, I don't know. Like, I, as a solo person, like, I have to, like, create material for myself to do, you know? And so I've just started, like, somewhat trying to do character work around town.
Yeah.
And that's been all right.
Yeah.
Getting my feet wet a little.
Yeah, yeah. What kind of characters are you doing?
I feel like with characters, a lot of people, like, have... like the same reel everybody's got like this old west midwestern cat lady and like you know and like I was just like let me try to expand on what I do so I have a Jordan Catalano kind of my so-called life character I also have like the lead singer of like an emo band
of course
of character which is you know, very much my brand, I feel like.
Even though you're, like, not an emo dude at all, but...
Oh, I love that shit, though.
But I mean, like, you don't... Like, I feel like your humor is not like that.
Oh, really? I don't know what it's like.
Well, you're very absurdist.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll hear that, sure.
Yeah. I mean, I love playing with you, and I like being weird.
Yeah. No, we've gone to Crazy Town, like...
Several times.
Pants on head.
I'm trying
automatically.
To think, yeah, I'm trying to think of like all the crazy stuff we've done, which is just a lot.
Yeah. Just a few weeks ago at the jam, we had that labyrinth scene.
Yeah, which is the weirdest thing ever, because in my mind, like when I started that scene, when I entered the scene, like as a character, because I'm the one that made it into a labyrinth accidentally.
Mm-hmm.
I was hiding in their closet as like a person that, like, because I thought it was a bedroom scene.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's how it sounded like.
We were in a gap.
And then, like, it ended up being a doorway to, like, a weird mythical land in the gap.
Yeah. No, I think it was a really successful set.
I thought it was fun, yeah. I was just, like, as I entered, I was a little bit scared, like, but, like, my character was scared. I wasn't scared as a performer, but, like, I was, like, hiding behind like, a curtain.
Yeah.
Like, being like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, like, and then, like, oh, there's a person hiding behind this doorway. And,
yeah.
Okay, well.
You weren't at the jam last night.
No, I wasn't. I was working.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Trader Joe's had me till midnight last night. So I'm assuming that, and since you said it was a short jam, it was probably done by...
It was done by, like, midnight, yeah.
Yeah, when I made it.
Yeah.
But it was fine. I mean, I actually stayed a little bit late at work, too, because I had to finish what I was doing.
Trader Joe's.
Hey, man, I love it. It's a great job. They treat me really well there.
Yeah, my dad worked at Trader Joe's when I was growing up.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He, right, like, in California, right?
In California.
The home of the Joe's.
Yeah, he was in Danville, but we lived in Livermore. That's where I'm from.
Okay.
East Bay.
Right. East Bay is like the Bay Bay?
Yeah, San Francisco,
right.
Bay.
Right, yeah.
There's no West Bay because that's the ocean. And so
I just love how, is there like a South Bay, North Bay?
Yeah, yeah. But, so, like, I mean, the north part is like San Jose and stuff like that. Or South, I'm sorry. So, yeah, I'm in the East, the more like near wine country and stuff like that.
Which is why I know so much about wine.
Yeah. I worked in wineries out there for a little while. Once I moved to New York, I worked in wine bars and fancy restaurants and stuff.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
So I'm going to go do today.
Yeah. Yeah, you are. the way you said it sounds so weird in my head.
Well, I'm gonna, yeah.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, well, you know. It's, yeah. Trader Joe's is a fun company. I imagine it was even better back then, because, like, they've always been, like, really about, like, the employee.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, as soon as they got bigger and stuff like that, they became a lot more...
Yeah.
Less like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I always thought of it as a really small company until later in the 90s, yeah.
Yeah. Right, because... I don't think it even expanded out of California until, like, the 90s. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure about that at
all. I mean, I never heard of it until, like, after college.
Yeah.
Until I moved to New York, I think.
Yeah, we had a bunch in California.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's big out there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's not the Trader Joe's podcast. It's Devin Ritchie.
Is it? Is it all about Devin Ritchie?
Today? Every episode.
Okay. You guys don't talk enough about me.
I'm sorry.
Been writing in a lot, and one's reading my letters.
Well, you know what? You should email me directly.
Okay.
hgmpod@gmail.com.
Okay, I will.
And I will do my best to make whatever request is possible. That'd be insane. Like, I just, like, it's like, all of a sudden, like, the host does not become me anymore. It's like Mark Dowling.
Just different marks every week.
Oh, it's like Mark Vigen just does, it's like, it's just, hi, how are you? It's like at the telephone show. He was in the telephone show, and he played a crystal man.
What is that?
It was just a man made out of crystal, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
And like every time that Alex thing. French ate candy, he assaulted him very sexually.
That's such a treat.
Yeah,
that's
and
great.
It was very very funny.
I love Alex French.
Alex French is a dream.
Yeah, he's coaching This Old House right now.
Yeah,
yeah,
great. And how's that going? I mean, like.
Oh, my God. It's been a fucking whirlwind. Because we're all brand new to Lloyd, which is great that we're all kind of starting together.
Yeah.
And so we just had our third show last night, which went really well. And, you know, everyone's laughing and no one's booing, and it looks like they're going to let us keep doing the show.
At least for 6 months.
At least for a year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So is there only going to be auditions once a year now, or?
It sounded like they would supplement if they needed to.
Oh, okay.
But they pretty much guarantee us a year.
That's great.
On Lloyd.
So don't, you know.
Don't fuck it up.
Yeah.
I'm just trying not to even think about that. You know,
no, I know. I know. I would know we've had this conversation as friends before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it has... It's weird to get to know a team of people that, like, one way or the other, we're going to be on this team, whether you like it or not.
I mean, I assume you're friends with most of the team to begin with.
Most of them. A few of them I didn't know before, and I love them.
Yeah.
Like, this is the team I would totally choose to be on.
Yeah.
No matter what.
I mean, it's Timmy Wood.
Louis Vega.
Amaya Lutgen.
Jenna Barron. Yeah. Sarah Heveron Smith. And Derek Katz.
Yeah, I mean, those are all amazing people.
Yeah, they're great. I was in a class with Bill and Dara right before auditions.
Yeah.
It was the Achilles class. And then a few of them were in Convergence together.
Right.
And this is kind of a mashup of those and a couple other people.
Nice.
So it's been good. It's almost like, for me, like dating somebody in the beginning.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I really like you,
yeah.
And we both really want this to work,
yeah.
But, like, I don't want to come too fast, I want to, like, show to my true colors, or, like, I guess I do, but, like...
Well, I mean, you don't want to be that person that gets, like, that holds back what their comedy voice is.
Absolutely.
But you don't want to dominate too early, like, you just want to, like,
yeah. And I was just saying this in rehearsal, because, like, I just want to play way more. I want to do a show. I want to do just bang out heralds all the time because I just want to know how to play with them and like what color crayons they got in their box.
You're making me really wish I could have you guys at Forms for the Bucket.
Oh, yeah. So tell me about that show.
Well, I mean, it's a show that I host monthly with Scott Friedstein of Mr. Danger. Basically what it is you go up on stage, you choose a form from a bucket, and then you immediately do the set.
Like a team?
Yeah. It's
a
all
pre-existing
established
team.
But, I mean, unfortunately, used to be teams aren't allowed to do the Treehouse stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, I guess we're not now.
Yeah, I know.
So what forms would they be?
Well, I'll tell you the forms that were drawn last time, if you want.
Okay.
All right, so it was a 20-foot away from each other montage. So, like, basically, the idea is every scene, Hussein drew that. So that means every scene, like, they started a scene, like, in, like, a living room, sort of, like, and then, like, next scene was, like, outside the house, like, watching in.
Yeah, Hussein's, like, Joe Leonardo, right?
Joe Leonardo, Chris Cromack.
Danny Grace.
Danny Grace.
They're funny.
Ali Vinciano, I don't know the other girl's name, and I'm really embarrassed by that. She, oddly enough, walked through Trader Joe's last night.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't know her name, so I was like, hey. I was like, oh, that's the girl from Hussein. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And they did, like, normally it's like at, like, a movie theater, that type of montage or something, like, where it's, like, you know, they're in the auditorium and they're in a concession. Like, every scene can happen, like, 20 feet apart.
Yeah.
The next one was a Black Sunday, which is one of my favorite forms there is.
What is that?
It's serious improv.
Oh, that's great.
Rock strip. Unfortunately, Rocks was just JD and Josh Sharp that night.
The old Herald team Rocks?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I was really lucky to get Rocks to do the show, which was really exciting.
That's fun.
Unfortunately, like, there was a big misunderstanding on, like, what day, so, like, most of Rocks can make it, but, I mean, it's still JD and Josh Sharp.
That's great.
Which are, I mean, and they did it amazing. It was, like, easy to watch 15 minutes. And then Apollo, the old Herald team, drew a soundtrack.
Okay.
You know what that is?
Yeah.
Well, I'll explain it anyways for people. Basically, I mean, he's like, yeah, just because we know what it is, because we listeners don't know what it is. So basically what that means is, someone's iPod gets chosen, and the tech booth person plays music from it to start new scenes, basically. And they use it, the music, as a way to start the scene, but not like, oh yeah, I love this song, as initiation, be like, yeah, I get so mad. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. And my team, Mr. Danger, we did a puppet prov, which was,
you have puppets ready?
Well, we chose this form. Last month, Scott made 6 paper bag puppets, and we used them, and it was fun.
That's great.
It was really silly, but it was fun.
I've always wanted to do puppet improv.
Yeah. Next month, Choose Your Own Adventure Prom is still in there.
Okay.
Because that was this month's form. Because every month we create a new form for it. Choose Your Own Adventure Prom is, like, the easiest type of thing to think of, in my opinion. But it's like every scene someone's going to make to, I want to walk through a store, or sit down and have a cup of coffee or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then who votes? Audience?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what it would have to be.
Sure.
But, I mean, it wasn't chosen yet, so. Yeah.
That's
whatever. But, yeah, I mean, if you have that. I actually fancy me. That'd be great for the show.
Yeah, we'd love to. We're going to go on a reunion farewell tour soon.
Don't say farewell. That's so sad.
Well, we're going to do farewell, like, share, or we're going to have, like, a bunch of farewell tours.
Okay.
And we don't really mean it.
Yeah, because you guys are some of the funniest, nicest dudes out there.
Oh, thank you. They are such a treat. I put us together, actually.
Yeah?
So, when I was in, like, 301 or 401, I had... just been on, like, a couple, like, failed indie teams.
Everyone has. Yeah.
And I'm like, I just want to be on a team. And I saw Doppelganger. And,
which is, one of the best teams of all time.
Of all time.
And I really hate saying that because that sounds like such hyperbole.
No.
But, I mean, if you're into pop culture, you've heard of, you've seen at least 2 people.
Yeah.
Sashir Zameda and,
Nicole Byer.
And the amazing Keisha Zoller, who is one of the funniest people out there, too.
Yeah. So I saw them do a couple shows, and I'm like, that team's so cool, and it's just awesome black chicks, you know? And I'm like,
yeah.
I want something like that. What do I have? Oh, I'm gay. And, like, let me get, like, a bunch of
really,
gays
really,
from
really
around.
Funny.
And so I started asking, because I knew maybe, like, 2 from classes, and I started to be like, oh, do you know anybody else? And people would start recommending me people, and so... And
because you guys are like the first big gay team.
Yeah, when I started asking around about it, there's a team called Anders and Cooper that
I've
used
heard
to be like
team.
Kind of a mashup of a bunch of queers at the theater.
Yeah.
I think like Aaron and Josh did that from way long
okay.
ago. And like Ryan Williams and stuff. But this was kind of, yeah, a new generation of like the young up and coming queers.
Yeah.
And so like, yeah, it's Kelton and Henry Russell and Maddie Frazier and Danny Visconti
all
and those, Jacob Mondry.
All great guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it Daniel Craig in it?
David Craig. Daniel Craig.
James Bond.
Yeah, he's
I've been in a class with David Craig. Yeah. Like, that's so embarrassing. Just call him Daniel Craig.
Yeah. David Craig and Nikita Bourdain, which we went through like a bunch of kind of different rosters to kind of get to settle on those eight, you know?
And then
we added Oscar Montoya as well.
Who's also amazing.
Yeah.
And like, what's also really cool about the team is like, you guys like hosted one of the jams at UCB.
Yeah, so after we had been a team for a little while, we submitted to, I think it was Nate at the time, queer jam at the theater. It was called the XYZ Jam for LGBTQIA, XYZ, everybody. Pretty much everybody, like, left of center at the theater.
Right.
To kind of, like, you know, feel normal. It's for, like, if you're a, you know, queer 101 kid, this is where you can find other weirdos like yourself,
yeah.
you know? And it was really successful, and we did musical improv there, too. And
Which
they let
is
us
awesome.
Take over the Wednesday jam, yeah.
Yeah.
So hopefully we're going to submit it again and get another date soon.
That's great, yeah.
Yeah.
Because you guys did, like, last summer, I remember.
Yeah, it was in September or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But like, that was like, I remember people talking about that for a long time. Unfortunately, I missed it because Gethard Show is always a priority
yeah.
for me.
Yeah. yeah, I always felt like you either kind of, like, for, like, the deep improv nerds... You're either, like, a Wednesday Jam kid or you're a Gethard Show kid.
Yeah.
yeah.
Or you're, like, where you're... Well, I mean, I was always Gethard, but then became diehard nerds. So
yeah.
Diehard improv nerds.
Yeah. I'm been pretty good with the nerds lately as well.
Yeah. 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 Cool. So let's, like, dive in. Like,
let's
to, like,
dive in.
Let's, I mean, we're 22 minutes in. It's time to get started, right?
Okay, yeah.
I mean, honestly, we've not been recording. No, that'd be so sad if actually, like, if for some reason.
Has that happened to you before?
It's happened earlier in the show.
Okay.
Where I basically thought I was recording, and then it just, like, stopped.
Tragic.
Also, sometimes, like, the way that I upload this to my Audacity, sometimes doesn't work out well.
Okay.
And I have to, like, email it to myself in, like, 8-minute chunks. And then edit the whole episode together instead of just being like, okay, theme music, episode, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it happens. So what was, like, your big comedy or acting inspirations growing up in California?
So, I guess for me, I'm just a big TV
fan. Yeah.
Like, I was kind of raised by the television.
Same here, yeah.
And I've always watched comedy, and I think part of me was just looking at, you know, just... seeing kind of actors when I was a kid, just like your Robin Williams, kind of Jim Carrey and Eddie Murphy kind of thing. And I'm like, what are they doing? And how is this a job? You know, like, and I was just like kind of an ADD freak, just like constantly having to reel me in, you know?
Yeah.
And just like out there and just, annoying probably, you know, just like
okay.
a total spaz.
Only child or not?
No, I have brother and sister. They're 3 years older than me. They're twins.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. And then me, the baby.
And I was just curious, because, like, I mean, like, because I know, like, the way you're just describing yourself as a kid is so close to, like, how I describe myself and, like, every
and you're
other
an only child.
And every other only child I know.
Yeah.
That has, like, a big personality.
Mm-hmm. I find that a lot of improvisers I know are, like, the youngest child.
Or oldest.
Or any normal people.
Yeah.
We're just people. Or an only child, or whatever. And so I think I just needed some outlet for creativity or some attention put on me.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, like, eventually I kind of found theater in that, and I was okay at that. I did some theater junior college.
You're a great actor at improv.
Oh, thanks.
So I imagine you're pretty darn good at theater, too.
And I mean, I did some...
Did you do, like, in high school or something like that? Or
in high school, I literally did no theater, and the reason why is It was very uncool to do it.
Well, what were you like in high school?
I had bleach blonde hair, long bleach blonde hair.
Well, bleach blonde hair.
Yeah. I had it recently. it's going to come back, too. And, you know, I painted my nails black and,
Very cliche early millennium.
Very cliche early millennium and very cliche closeted gay kid, you know? And I was also, I was kind of popular, I was class president and shit.
That's cool.
And I was actually, my high school mascot, which...
That's a weird combination to me.
Yeah.
Class president and high school mascot. The mascot, in my school was, this, twerpy little girl.
Same. I was a twerpy little girl.
Yeah? No. I hate using the phrase twerpy because, that's the best phrase. I remember her being kind of, really, very cliche nerd that, no one really had any idea that she was the mascot until, towards the end of the year.
I mean, I wasn't, a preppy kid. The real, popular kids are, the kind of preppy athletes and stuff. And me and my friends, were kind of punks, but I was still class president.
What kind of music were you listening to? I'm just curious.
Because
I imagine you listened to exactly the same kind of music as I did.
I've always just had a real love affair for just, unabashed pop music, you know, Britney is, homegirl.
Yeah.
She's very close to me.
Last night, at Work Starford.
Yeah, so, go.
When we were closing, the manager whose iPod was on, he is a big pop punk fan.
Oh, yeah.
So, there was, 8.82 songs on there, and, I was, freaking out, not freaking out, oh my god, but, being, I know every lyric to this song, and I was, found myself singing along to, half the songs.
I found myself recently, in a Spotify rabbit hole for pop punk, because, I'm planning a show right now, which is, kind of a lip-sync show, but a very embarrassing lip-sync show.
If you need anyone for it, let me know.
Yeah, and it's... I'm essentially going to, lip-sync songs that are going to be, embarrassing and, why do I know this? And a witch has taken over my body and is forcing me to do this.
Holy shit.
That's always my reason for everything. What's a good justification? I don't know, a witch cursed me. But I was listening to so much pop punk and doing research about these bands, and, Sum 41 is, still a band.
And, yeah.
And, put out new music and tour Japan.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I remember, distinctly the day coming home, watching TRL, hearing Fat Lip for the first time.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck? What am I doing with my life? This song is amazing.
Yeah, and recently I put on that Panic at the Disco album.
Oh, the first one?
Yeah.
Which is still an amazing album.
I'm just I know every single word to this.
Yeah. Well, I'm also going to think about that, about Panic at the Disco, especially that first album. There's, 8 words each song.
Not the album I'm thinking of. No, they're chock full of words.
But I mean, it feels like, I feel like they just keep repeating the same, So the Bridesmaid to the, mm-hmm. I forget the name of that fucking song. But I know every word.
Well, the names of those songs are like sentences.
Is
it I Write Sins Not Tragedies?
I think that's what it is,
And the album is A Fever You Can't Set Up.
Anyways. But I just remember listening to that song almost every day, that album, every day while in costume class in college, so.
Yeah. But lately, in kind of researching this show, I will listen to just horrendous music on
Korn.
I like Korn. you will find me doing some Korn karaoke.
I've recently done Limbiscuit karaoke.
Really?
I did Break Stuff at karaoke once.
Oh, man. They are a mess.
I actually also found myself, this is so oddly not embarrassing because it's the best part of a horrible film. Harvey Danger, Flagpole Sitta. It came on my iPod yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Harvey Danger's great.
Harvey Danger is my favorite One Hit Wonder band, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about, embarrassing intro songs because we had to pick an intro song. And Bill was trying to make people do Roland, Limp Bizkit. And if you listen to Roland, you forget that it starts with, like, all right, partner. Like, you ready to get rolling?
As a Floridian, it's hard to, like, not think about Limp Bizkit, like, 80% of the time.
Is that where they're from?
They're from Jacksonville.
They real would be. They real would be.
Like, I always wondered, like, what happened with West.
Like, the bassist, or?
I want to say guitarist, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. I feel like I had a crush on him.
He's a handsome dude.
Anyone who put blackout contacts in, I'm like, that's me.
Yeah. That's the gateway to your heart?
Oh, that's the gateway to my heart, yeah.
All right, guys, you know it.
Yeah. I'm single and looking, so.
Hey, yeah. And he's a very good-looking dude.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Oh, stop.
He's a handsome dude.
Stop.
Okay, well, I will
no, stop. I...
Just go to UCB's page, and we'll see how handsome he is, or just find him.
Yeah.
We'll see him at UCB East
every
day.
I'm the guy sitting in the back with a tall boy of Narragansett.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's my legs up.
Hey, I had two tall boys of Gansett last night after work. Mm-hmm. We're celebrating. Can't really say right now what celebrating.
You're always such a tease.
How about this? What I'm going to do right now is I'm actually going to check my email, because I actually know that something big is happening. Like, it's involving some really good stuff. So,
okay.
I'm literally checking my email right now just to see if I can talk about it, honestly.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
I'll let you know, don't worry, but I mean, I don't see an email yet.
You feel like you always post things on Facebook like, ooh, big things on the horizon
yep,
that you never announce? I don't know.
Nope, I do announce. I do announce. It just sometimes takes a while to announce. I'm being such a bad podcast host right now, checking my email. Still nothing. Okay. That sucks, because I really want to talk about it.
Okay.
But that's okay. But you know what? I mean, sometimes it's okay to be a tease.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, okay.
All right. Now we're back.
Like, fine. I mean, I'll let you guys know some exciting things now.
Sure.
Let me think. Okay. I don't want to announce some things.
That's
because,
fine. You don't have to.
Okay, I'll just say Free Kittens is doing the next Form of Snow Bucket.
That's great.
It's great. I mean, it's one of the cool things you can talk about right now.
I love Free Kittens.
And also, like, there's some... You might want to watch some TV with some of your Netflix coming up soon.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I might want to.
Yeah. I think I actually told you what it is a while ago. I'm not saying anything more than that. I'm not saying anything more than that, because I don't want it.
Sure.
Yeah, it happens. But, yeah, I mean, sometimes... See, the thing about me is, like, I used to, like, not be able to, like, keep things, like, quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And now that, like, there's, like, some big things, I'm like, I kind of should just keep everything close.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, just because, you know, I want good things to happen. I don't want people to be like, oh, Mark can't keep his mouth shut.
Sure.
Yeah.
I've got a big-ass mouth myself.
Yeah. So, where did you go to college?
I went to only junior college.
That's awesome, man. I went to junior college, too.
Yeah, and I don't think I even finished. I started doing... But we had a good theater program at our school.
Like, when did you realize you liked theater? Like, because you didn't really do it in high
school. So, it was because after high school... Oh, and the reason I didn't do it in high school is literally every single person who did theater was Mormon. We had a big, like, Mormon population.
In North California?
Yeah. And,
I had no idea about that.
It just... And it was, like, not cool to be, like... right after I moved to Sacramento, where my mom lived, and... I started taking film class, because I'd done a lot of film in high school, and in order to, like, fulfill your requirements or something, you also had to take an acting class, and I had no friends, because I moved to a new city to junior college, and nobody really goes to junior college to make friends.
Except for my first college, but that's a different story altogether.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, I don't really care about making friends in Sacramento, I'm just going to... plug in with school here and eventually move, you know?
Yeah.
But after a year of that, I was like, no, I need friends. So I was like, and I had to take an acting class this semester too. So I was like, let me take one acting class and, I might as well go to this improv club that we had. And there was this thing where if you were the best new person that day, it was just like a big jam, you know, and all short form stuff. And if you're the best new person that day, they give you this mustard, and you have to come back and bring that next week.
That's so stupid. That's so funny.
It's so stupid, but then I got the mustard, and they wanted me to come back, and they were like, oh, you know, like, we go out and run amok in Denny's parking lots and, nice. You know, get drunk and do whatever. I'm like, these are my people.
Cool.
So I eventually, got really into the improv club and then gotten into the theater scene a little more there until I started, like, actually getting roles.
Yeah, what roles were you playing?
I kind of found my wheelhouse doing, like restoration theater.
Really?
Yeah, like white makeup, like, woo-hoo-hoo, you know, like kind of like...
Yeah, yeah. Like the Rivals and stuff like
that. Well, like foppy kind of plays, like Beau Stratagem and things like that. Like, and I did a lot of Shakespeare, but my favorite is Noel Coward.
Noel Coward's so great.
Yeah, and I was able to like kind of get more easily cast in roles like that, and just because like... I feel like he wrote characters as kind of, like, closeted gay men, too.
Because he was a closeted gay man.
Yeah. And also, everything was smart.
Everything was smart and, like, really, like, articulate.
Mm-hmm. And wordy as fuck.
And they all were, like, I hate saying it, but all the male characters in the Noel Coward's plays are, like, barely straight.
Yeah, they're barely straight. And they
like, in Private Lives, where they're, like, somehow hyper straight, so that means they're barely straight.
Mm-hmm. And just, but also, if they were a gay man at that time, they probably just would have still had a wife. And
yeah.
Still, and this is probably, this was as gay as they're allowed to be.
So, know? Like, you did, like, Blythe Spirit.
I did Blythe Spirit, of course.
Were you the man?
Yeah, I was Charles, yeah. Nice. And,
I meant, by the man, I meant, like, the lead.
I was the man. No, I didn't get cast as the woman, no. So I did that for a little while until I was able to, like, start getting some more lead roles. But I was happiest doing improv, I realized.
Yeah.
And I'm an okay actor, but I was never like, oh, I'm going to ride this to the top. Like, I'm like, I know my capabilities. Like, I don't know if I have this in me, you know? And with improv, I felt like the best kind of a ratio of happiness to success.
Yeah.
And I was also, they opened a Comedy Sports in Sacramento as well.
Yeah.
And so I got cast in that and did that
I've
for a couple years.
I've never done Comedy Sports before. I've never seen Comedy Sports.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I've heard of it, of course.
I mean, it's not a bad deal if it's the only game in town. You know, a lot of improvisers that I know here got their start in Comedy Sports.
Yeah.
It's hacky. It's gimmicky. It just is, you know.
Yeah.
And I did a show last summer when I went home because... They invited me to it. I'm like, yeah, this is fun. My only issue with it is, like, so little of it is improv. For half an hour, it was just a ref talking to an audience.
Really?
Being like, here's explaining the rules, and here's what
That's the biggest issue a lot. That's my biggest issue is short form. It's just too much. Because, like, my biggest issue at watching long form is we cut twos and stuff like that.
Why?
Like, I just... Well, I mean, like or else, like, we see that he's wearing a...
You don't like lay-ons?
I'm not a big lay-on person, honestly.
Because
like,
you think it breaks, like, the fourth wall a bit?
I'm okay breaking the fourth wall, but it has to be broken. But I feel like that if it's going to happen, the improviser himself is going to make it happen.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, of course I'm a big fan of the whole idea of ensemble and stuff like that, but I just feel like, hey, we see that he's fully naked. I think it's so stupid. Like, it's like...
I feel like
if the improviser is conveying that they're fully naked... Uh-huh. It doesn't need a single person to be like, I'm full.
You know? Yeah, a lot of times we do it just to fuck with each other.
Which I'm fine with fucking with each other. I mean, I do it all the time at Champs.
Mm-hmm. At Champs, I fuck with it. Just like...
Yeah. And like, yeah, I don't know. I just, there's so many things I have issues with that are like, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, I see a lot of like lower level people because of jams and stuff like
sure.
that.
Sure. I remember like there being this type of move, which is like, if we haven't labeled what something is yet, and then coming into the scene later, I also as just like a person not in the scene already, and coming in and being like, I remember specifically, I think it was Mr. Crime on Harold, a long time ago, and Zach Willis, who's like maybe the funniest person on Harold, came in, and this just like, is Karen and somebody being like hipsters, and they just did not define where they are ever, and Zach Willis comes in and he's just like, if you aren't going to make copies in this Kinko's, I'm going to have to ask you to leave. And
I saw that set.
Yeah, and now I'm like, that's the move I keep in my head when I'm like, if they don't label this, I'm going to make a Kinko's move.
Yeah.
And just put you somewhere you don't want to be.
Yeah. Like, I agree. Like, I mean, I feel like, because like, the way I look at improv is I like to look at it like the way I look at theater. like, no character is ever like, well, you know, I feel like this because I am fully naked from the chest down. Like, like that's, I mean, it doesn't need to be said. If it doesn't need to be said, it doesn't need to be said.
Sure.
That's the way I look at things.
Yeah. I get that. But it's fine.
Okay, that's fine. And, like, that's probably the reason, like, why I'm okay with fighting people at the gym.
Yeah.
You
gotta, I mean, some of those kids, you just gotta yank them off the back line, too.
Yeah.
Just give them anything to work with.
Well, I mean, I recently, at the nerd gym, I pretty much, recently I've always been in the special gym, which is a great feeling,
because
it's
good,
all, like, people that like, I know how to play it with easily, instead of people being like, I'm gonna just chalk the whole time, until...
I love them.
It's, what was it, I think it was last week at the Iggins Jam. Kyle Ewart and myself, we were in a set, and this guy, like, just was really funny, but he had no idea what he was doing. So, like, he, like, just came in and, like, just destroyed games that were being built. But it was still really funny.
Wow. I love kind of when, like... Maybe not even a one-on-one kid just comes in there and kind of blows up the thing, and we all have to be like, how are we dealing with this?
Yeah.
You know, because, like, you know, it kind of tests everybody's skills, and also I've seen, like, Sean Diston, like, really save some scenes.
Yeah.
We're, like, people just disasters.
And it's just so funny, like, when, like, those scenes happen, like, you see Sean Diston on stage, and he's like, how am I going to save this? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, I got, like, 8 sentences I could do it.
Oh, my God.
So what brought you to New York? I mean, did you move out here to act, or...?
Yeah, so I was living in Sacramento, I was kind of done with school, and I knew I wanted to do improv, and I just needed a life change, so I was becoming, like, a shitbag.
And you were like, I don't want to move to L.A.
I don't want to move to L.A. just because, like, I was born in L.A., I grew up a little there,
right.
And, like, I have so many friends in L.A., and I needed a big change in my life.
And you can't get much bigger in continental U.S.
And I had never been to New York before. And
so you moved out here without visiting before?
Yeah.
Wow.
I bought a one-way ticket, and my friend was going to let me stay on her couch and while I figured it out. So I'd saved up some money and borrowed some money from my mom to be able to like make this work. And I knew I wanted to do UCB. I'd known of UCB for a while, and... So I started looking at classes before I moved.
Well, also, I feel like it's hard to be our generation and be big TV nerds and not have watched the TV show.
Yeah, absolutely.
At least one episode.
Yeah, and just kind of as I researched the people who I was interested in, you know, I'm like, oh, they went to this school called UCB, you know? And so I was like, I know I want to take a class there, and so I signed up for a class that started the day I got to New York.
Who was the teacher?
Ari Vakitis.
One of my favorite people.
Yeah. So, same day, I moved to New York. I flew across country to a place I'd never been to, arrived at JFK at 8:30, and I was in 101 with Ari at 3.
That's a little close, actually.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wait, so what time was your flight out of...
It was a red eye, so...
Oh, my God.
Yeah. People are like, oh, you'll sleep on the plane. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's when people sleep, when they
Did you sleep on the plane?
No.
I mean, you're going to see, like, life change to a place you've never been before.
And I start improv class tomorrow.
Like that's, like 8 terrifying things in a row.
Yeah. Yeah. And then people are like, you know, because even people in Sacramento are like, what if it doesn't work? And I'm like, then I'll come back and do the same fucking thing we were doing before. You know, like, whatever. Like, worst comes to worst.
Yeah. That makes sense.
But yeah, it's been going well. It's my 4-year anniversary next week.
Congratulations, my friend.
Thanks.
Yeah, in 2 weeks I hit 6 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. I think that's really cool that, like, you clearly dove in head first. Like, for me, like, I visited New York, I think, 5 or 6 times before I moved up here.
All right.
Mainly to see plays and stuff like that. You know, it's a lot easier to make a trip from Florida to New York than it is from California to New York, I feel like, just time-wise.
Yeah.
But, I saw, a lot of trips before I moved up here, and then, like, I was like, yeah, I'm ready to move, and literally just started acting almost immediately. So I got cast in my first audition.
That's great.
Which is great, and, And, yeah, like, a lot of weird things like that. And then, like, didn't start improv until I had, like, a break, like, 7 months into living in New York. So.
Wow.
Like, because, like, I was like, yeah, I'll do improv eventually. And then, like, March 2010, I started doing improv.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we started around the same time. I started just, like, a year after you, I guess.
Right, right.
Yeah. But yeah. I, like, powered through the classes, too.
I took a little time. I mean, I went pretty fast, but, like, I got stuck in 401.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm so weird.
Well, I was also just, like, a crazy person. So, I 101, then I did 201 intensive, 301 right after that, and just directly into 401. Like, no breaks in between.
Was the 101 an intensive, too, or?
No. No, it wasn't. And so, back when I was in 401, I was in 401 with Doug Moe. I was so paranoid about, like, what if I don't pass, and then I'll have to wait to find out, and then try to get into another 401, which is hard at the time, and I probably won't have another chance to apply for advanced study for, like, 4 or 5 more months, and Herald Edition's, like, around the corner. So I took 2 401s at once, just in case.
That's exactly what my friend Misha did. Like, Misha did, like...
They don't let you do that anymore because people like me were clogging up the system. And then the thing is, I got in my first time, so I didn't need to be taking my second class.
So who was your second 401 teacher?
Ryan Carroll's.
And he's like, what are you doing?
I know. Well, they were, like, concurrent. They were at the same time, too, but one was just, like, 3 weeks ahead of the other.
Yeah.
And, it was just
so,
like
you're,
like,
in week 6 of, like, Ryan's class, and, like, you're like, I got an advance.
Yeah.
And everyone's like...
I was a total douche.
Everyone's like, what?
And then, a week after I get into advanced study, it was Herald Editions, and I'm like, I'm gonna get this. Oh my god, I finished the program in less than a year, and I'm gonna get it. I'm like, and of course I did not. Like, because that would have been insane.
Yeah.
And I realize now, I wasn't very good. Like,
I was terrible.
Oh my god.
Like,
and I always thought, like, I was pretty good. And now I look back and I'm like, oh no.
No, like,
I can't even believe this. I went, after like 2-3 weeks in 101, I pulled Ari aside and I was like, is there, like, a way I can skip ahead? And, like,
oh, you're a fucking asshole, man.
And he talked to me. He's like, oh, you know, if you want to learn more. And I was just like, I want to be doing way more right now is my thing. I'm just so hungry for it. And he's just like, get a team together, start practicing on the side. He's like, but there's literally no other track, you know, like,
yeah,
you have to start here and you have to, he's just like, he should have kicked my ass down fucking 30th Street. That was training center. And, but he was very nice. He's like, no, let me tell you how this goes. And I'm like, okay, all right.
And keep in mind, for those that don't know who Ari Vakitas is, he became a meme, like, almost a year ago now.
Yeah, he was on Jeopardy.
He was on Jeopardy. He was the one that said, this handsome guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, there's a new Jeopardy meme, the gay guy that,
I
like,
love
Snap,
him.
Which I thought was hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, Cristobal, Snap.
Yeah, which is something, he just wrote this great essay.
I saw yesterday on BuzzFeed.
I'm so believing in.
I like that guy a lot. I'm like, that's really cool. I like the idea of, like, of people becoming more and more progressive,
mm-hmm.
and like, or like more and more progressive people going into, like, more oppressive things. Because Jeopardy is such, like, not an oppressive show,
but yeah,
but
it's like, just
like, it's
a...
very much like an old show.
Yeah,
like in that regard of, like, straight family values and stuff like that.
It's something like it. You know,
and I just... sound like really weird as a straight man saying stuff like that.
No, it's fine. But, I'm all about, like. The RuPaul kind of thing is Sissy That Walk. It's a song, and it's something you say to the queens who are just like, no, you better sissy up that fucking walk, because for our entire lives we've been, like, told, you know, like, man up and no, walk straight. You know, men do this. Don't act so girly and don't act like a sissy. And now I'm just like, you want to be fucking sissy? Be fucking sissy. Or makeup, do whatever you want.
But I mean, I just...
And I wear heels, like, get your life.
Yeah, man, just have fun. Do what you gotta do. Do
mm-hmm.
you.
And it's... doesn't matter, like, and so that's why it's important for, like, people on, like, an innocuous show like Jeopardy to be like, I'm fucking gay.
Well, I'm surprised, like, because he was like, yeah, I wish I said I'm gay on Jeopardy.
I know.
Which I'm like, I mean, granted, he
because
wasn't
kind of
hiding it back.
You're kind of straight until proven otherwise in the world.
Like, yeah, it's true.
Yeah, so that's why I'm kind of like, I don't mind, like, wearing my nail polish and kind of, like,
hey, whoever my opinion is, whoever makes you the best version of you without hurting people,
mm-hmm.
Is the best thing you can do.
Okay.
That's my personal opinion.
I agree, yeah.
I feel like that's a fair way. I mean, like, yeah. Like, if you start hurting other people or bringing your opinions onto other people, then fuck you.
Yeah.
I mean, you can let your opinions be known, but don't be like, hey, my opinion's correct. That's my thing.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. Sorry, that just got a little weird, but I'm okay with that.
No, it's great.
You looked like I said something, like, weird.
No, yeah, I'm offended, so I'm leaving.
Because you get so offended by me.
I do. I've been meaning to talk to you about it.
All right. Well, this is not an awkward way to do that, right?
No, no.
You're like, no, I'm being fucking dead serious. no, but like, yeah, I feel like I'm really proud of that guy. That's the easiest way to put it.
Yeah, that's good. And like, I have been like on a bit of a soapbox, and I didn't know I cared about this kind of before I moved to New York about like kind of queers and comedy, you know?
Yeah.
But it is something that I've always just been like kind of passionate about because like, you know, like there are queers who exist in comedy. You know, but, like, for, in general, on, there aren't on TV, you know? And the ones who are just kind of, like,
very stereotyped.
Very stereotyped, which I'm fine with some stereotypes if they're true, you know? I'm like, we can play true people, you know? And I, you know, I'm just kind of, like, when will we have a day where we're just, like, yeah, one of the workaholics guys is just gay, you know? Like, you know?
I think that'd be great.
Yeah.
And, I think that'd be really great.
And for me, I'm just kind of, like, we have gay shows and we have all this, but it's just like not enough for me, you know. And I'm like, I'm not a Jack or a Will on right. Will and Grace, you know. Like I'm gay and weird, you know.
Yeah.
Like, so like, that's kind of what I'm going for.
That's good.
Yeah.
You have to own what you are, and mm-hmm. be proud of it.
For sure.
That's why I really do. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, like, it's like you and Mike Keltner are two of the most unboxable. A homosexual man that I know.
Unboxable. Yeah. I'm just... I don't even know what I am or do. Dude. I don't even know.
That's cool. I mean, like, that's the thing. Yeah. Like, hey, as long as you're happy, right?
I am, yeah.
That's what matters.
Yeah, I had somebody... It was Oscar Vatoria. He's just like, oh, you have such a unique voice. And I'm like, damn, what is it? What can you tell me?
I don't like... Because like, I know that like, you and me have like the same like weird mindset of comedy.
Absurdity. Yeah,
yeah, like, we're both very much like very Blackbeard, Monty Python, anything can happen.
Okay.
But we're not British humor as human beings. Although we both like it, mm-hmm. I believe. I mean, I can speak for myself, I can't speak for you, but I know that we have similar tastes in comedy.
I feel like we do, yeah.
Yeah. So like, I know that we're both like very... What I find funny, most people don't necessarily find funny.
Yeah.
And I laugh a lot more than I should sometimes.
Yeah, and I say that to myself sometimes where I'm like, oh man, I love that set, and I love this thing, and I love what I wrote.
Yeah.
And I'm like, people might hate it. Yeah. Maybe that's just the end, and maybe, you know, what I love is just not good for the masses or something, you know?
Well, I mean, clearly what you're doing is right. I mean, you just got finally put on the Lloyd team.
Right?
I mean, how'd that feel?
Oh, my God. So, yeah, it was my fourth audition.
Yeah, and this was my third, I think.
And I had...
Because I missed a year.
I've never gotten a callback. And I just got out of a really good Achilles class. And I'm like, I know they like me. I feel like I'm in a good spot. If it was going to be a year, it's this one, but I've always felt like that, so yeah, like, yeah. I don't even, you know.
Clearly since 101, right?
I've always felt like, I'm like, oh, I'm going to get it this time. And so I've kind of, I even gave up on, like, the idea somewhat of, like, it's this one, you know.
I mean, we were talking about stuff like this. Like,
yeah.
Right before the audition.
Right before the audition. Yeah. So I'm like, I'm going to keep going no matter what.
Yeah, like, we had that conversation because we're both like old dogs now.
Yeah. And it'd be nice. I want it. I really want it, you know. And it was two callbacks and then you get put on. And
so what was it like when you got that phone call?
Honestly, I think the most ecstatic I was when I got the first callback.
Right, because that's
I've never even gotten that far, and that was the moment,
right?
It was an email, and that was the moment where I was like, holy shit, I could maybe do this.
Yeah,
and then we had that callback, and then I got a second callback.
How'd you feel after your first callback?
Okay. I felt okay. And I did my first callback with Derek Katz, who I ended up on a team with.
Who is one of my favorite people, and a great previous guest to this podcast.
Yeah, and she, I remember she, like, on the back line, she held my hand and pulled me out on stage with her for the first beat. I was just like, great, let's go, girl. And so I felt okay after that one. I was a little nervous to get the second callback. And then when I got the second callback, I was like, okay, let's go. Full fucking balls out here. And we did a set. And it was like a real heavy hitter second callback team. Like, most of them got on.
Who was on the team?
Todd Bieber, Corey Palmer, yeah. Rosie Whalen.
Who I never even seen in my entire life.
That's when I first met her. She's great. And not because of me, but in this Herald, we had done a lot of adamantly defending Britney Spears came up, which is my life. And
right, because everyone forgets you were the guy that said, leave Britney alone.
That was me, yes.
When your name was Chris
Crocker, yeah. That was me. I changed everything and moved to New York.
Devin Ritchie sounds like a fake name.
He does porn now.
Really?
Yeah.
What kind?
Gay porn?
What?
Yeah. He kind of beefed up, yeah.
Good for him.
Anyway.
He beefed up. Wow. Yeah. Now I want to look up photos of not porn photos, but photos.
Oh, yeah. Sure. anyway.
So it was all about Adam Bentley.
So I got to just kind of go on this tirade where I was just like, Britney Jean Spears was born this and that in Kenwood, Louisiana, and da-da-da-da-da, and she sold this many records, and da-da-da-da-da, and I just, like, got to, like, this huge
tirade. And you, like, feel like the stereo hole through.
I just felt like they were just like, Devin is not playing a character anymore. This is him. And so when I leave my second callback, and they were like, and just the rest of the team is like, well, they loved your Britney meltdown. And I was like, that's what I got. if that's not how I get put on, I was never going to. So I felt great about that, you know. And I got the call the next day, and I felt good about it. So I kept my phone near me, and I still slept through it. And so it was a voicemail. So, yeah,
voicemail.
Yeah, and just kind of like, no need to call me back. And I'm like, but can I? Just the chit chat and thank you, you know.
Yeah. I find the idea of having a voicemail being like, "Hey, you got something you dream about?" Like, it's so funny.
And now for me, like, that was absolutely a goal of mine when I was up, you know. First moved here, I'm like, I want to fucking be on a fucking UCB house team.
And how did it feel for your first show? I know you guys had like, a pretty good run so far.
Yeah, our first show was like really.
Nervous?
Yeah, definitely. But like, this is kind of something that I've been, like, trying to get ready for, you know? Like, I jam a lot, you know?
I mean,
like,
you're a jam head.
I'm a total jam head, and
a bigger Wednesday jam head than Mondays, but yeah. More recently Mondays, too.
Yeah, more recently Mondays, too. The nerds have kind of let me cycle in sometimes. But, yeah, I started going to the jam when it was Grandma's Ashes, and just starting to get my reps in, you know? And that's really what it's all about. And that's also where just, like, where I meet people in the community.
And that's what I like a lot about. I mean, there's like some people that like I really like doing a lot of work with recently that I've met fairly recently at the Nerds Jam.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Marshall Lewis is like one of my favorite people in the community right now.
I don't know him.
Her. She's the really small blonde girl.
Oh, okay. Oh, I know her.
She did Never Have I Ever. She actually painted on stage.
Oh, cool.
She painted a portrait of Mike Kelton on stage. Actually,
was she good?
She's never painted before, and it looked like an amorphous blob.
Great.
But it was like kind of cool at the same time.
That's good.
And she was bantering with him the whole time. It was great because like they're both very funny people.
Yeah, also in our first show, like we had Louis go out and get the suggestion and like the applause break was like too long. You know, like they applauded like extra for us because they're like, because on our night we were the only people brand new.
Oh, it was like that. Okay.
Yeah, so, like, the other teams, like, they'd all been on it individually, just mixed up. And so it was just, like, people like, wah, for a while, and we're just like, okay, like.
And were you guys last?
Yeah, we're last, too. And it was just like, okay, thank you for applauding, let's move on. Like, it feels great. Like, the support, like, people really do, like, send you such nice things and compliment you truly. And that's a lot after a while, because doing this for a couple of years, just like, ugh, I just want somebody to fucking notice me.
I mean, like, Timmy Wood has been around for longer than I have.
Uh-huh.
And, like, that guy is, like, one of my opinion, most underrated players I've ever met. He's one of the nicest
dudes. Is he underrated?
I think he's really underrated. I mean, he's finally getting his due, but, like...
Nobody's reading my ratings, then.
Oh, okay.
He is so good. We were in a class together, like, 2 years ago or something. Yeah. It was a Kevin Hines class, and he and AJ and Mariola and Morgan Hill and a few people were in that class. And it was, like, when he and AJ had met to before they, you know, wrote Hype Squad.
So. Yeah. Which is a hilarious and a smart show.
It's great. They just got back from doing it in L.A., too.
Yeah, I wonder how, I'm sure it went well.
Yeah, it was packed, apparently.
That's great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's awesome.
And I was really excited to get the first one done, and then just to be like, okay, now we're just a normal team, you know?
Now it's like an appropriate amount of applause, right?
Yes, now we just get a normal, you know, some booze, and...
And only, like, three people get, like, underwear thrown at them, and one pair is soiled, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That, I keep that.
That's, but I mean, like, they always throw it at Louis, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you just take...
Yeah, what a panty dropper.
That Louis.
Oh, I hate that word.
That's actually not a great word, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Like, it's so weird, because, like, so many people hate the word moist. I have no issue with the word moist.
Panties is one for you?
No, panty dropper is a weird phrase to me.
God, that's so disgusting. Panty dropper.
And as a guy that would not mind being a panty dropper as a person, which no. I know I'm not, but like...
stop.
Not yet. Not until my big announcement that I can't announce yet. How about this, guys? Once I know this information, I'll add to the end of the episode.
Okay.
Okay? That's probably going to happen.
Great.
Yeah, but, you know, that's how that goes. So, okay, getting ready to wrap up.
Yeah.
What's something about Devin Ritchie people might not know that you're okay sharing?
I don't know. Like what?
Anything. It could be like what you ate for breakfast. It could be like anything. Like, it could be like a talent. It could be something like interesting about you.
I don't know. I'm Scottish. Which I'm, like, kind of actually, like, really into. So I'm a first-generation American. My dad's a Scottish immigrant. And so I've only been back once, but my people are from Dunfermline and Fife and Cowdenbeath.
Well, you, like, literally pulled out that accent.
Yeah. And
you don't naturally have an accent, do you?
I don't naturally have an accent. I'm born in California.
Yeah.
Like, and but, like, my whole, you know, like,
our
Scottish
both family.
Scottish side of my family, like, they all have, like, thick brogues.
Yeah.
And, you know.
And is your mom's side the...
My mom's side's just kind of American.
Yeah.
You know, like, cool. White people.
Like, just normal North California people.
Yeah.
Well, California people.
Yeah. Cool. Actually, my mom lives in Sacramento right now.
Nice. Cool. That's, I did not know that about you.
Yeah. I'm Scottish. I'm a Clan MacIntosh.
Nice.
Yeah.
Like an apple?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like an apple.
But is it like, I mean, like, I don't know about clans.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of the old school kind of, you can have a different family name, but, like, we're all part of the same kind of clan.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. So, what about something you're looking forward to that does not involve you?
Something I'm looking forward to that does not involve me.
Like a movie, a TV show, a book, a play, a concert, I don't know.
I'm really into Game of Thrones right now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm even rewatching, like,
the I heard that they just, seasons. Like, unleashed, like, a really big thing in this show. That's why, in the last episode, I'm a couple seasons behind.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
that's the thing, I've been watching this season, and I've been like, it's so good that I'm, like, rewatching the beginnings now.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited for it to move on. I haven't nerded out on something like this in so long, where I'm like actually
like
looking at the wiki,
like Lost level.
I love Lost.
Lost is one of my all-time favorite TV
all
shows.
Time.
Even though season 2 is a piece of shit.
Well, it had the writer's strike problems. And...
Right, and also, like, I mean, like, you gotta love how bad every character introduced in season 2 is, because eventually they all got murdered off.
Yeah, and, most of eventually you're like, well, what was the point of all them coming over from that
side? Although Mr. Echo's a great character.
I miss him. I also watched Oz with him. Oh, yeah. I'm a total TV nerd. I will just, like, pick up a show from the 90s and or 80s and just, like, pick up and watch it,
too. I mean, I've been working my way through Twin Peaks.
Oh, yeah? I've done that. Yeah. And right now, that's why I'm like, why am I rewatching Game of Thrones right now?
I'm actually trying to catch up to House of Cards. I'm, like, two seasons behind still.
Oh, yeah?
Like, I really liked the first season, but got, like, really busy and then just stayed busy, unfortunately.
Right. I'm just deciding whether I'm going to watch Daredevil or not.
You'll like Daredevil.
I truly don't care about superhero shit. I really don't.
Give it a shot. It's a little bit different.
Okay.
And plus, it's shot in New York. I feel like anything shot in New York, you at least have to watch one episode.
Okay.
Like, as an actor in New York, like, kind of, like, be like, oh.
I swear I've walked through, like, three different episodes of Gotham at different times. I'm probably in that.
Happy-ish, it was, like, shot, like, three blocks from my apartment for, like.
What's Happy-ish?
I don't know. It's, like. Like, it's got, like, it just started on Showtime. I know that there, like, when I first moved here, there's a movie, I think, called, like, The Intern, I think, with Robert De Niro and, like, Anne Hathaway and, like, Renee Russo that was, like, being shot, like, on 7th Avenue.
Okay.
Which was pretty cool, because, like, I was like, oh, Robert De Niro's on the street.
Yeah. That's cool.
My neighborhood's a popular neighborhood.
Yeah.
Because it's all rich people with strollers.
Mm. And you.
Yeah. Which is actually a joke that I wrote yesterday I'm very proud of. I can't wait to...
Oh, is this the joke you're proud of?
It's one of the jokes I'm proud of.
You teasing us again, or are you going to tell it?
No, I mean, basically what I'm saying in this joke is how, like, it's weird being 29 years old, living in Park Slope, where everyone's, like, around my age, has a kid, has a family, has $1 million. But, like, also, like, they all, like, take up the whole sidewalk because they all, like, stretch out.
Yeah.
And, like, of course, the kid is not in the stroller. The kid is pushing the stroller, because that's what all kids do, so the kids are more mature than I am at the age of two.
Ah.
That's part of the joke.
I see.
It's a little bit more complicated.
I'm hilarious.
Just, I mean, you know, I didn't do it the right cadence yet. That's the first time I ever said that out loud. I'm just checking the email again so I can honestly, like, I really want my announcing it right now, but I really don't want to say anything before it's more official. Still nothing. Ah. Oh, well, that happens.
You're waiting on your test results, I know.
Yeah, I know. I hope I'm pregnant. All right, so what about plugs for you? Twitter, Tumblr, shows?
No, I really... You can follow me on Twitter, @Devin_.
That's it? Just Devin_?
Devin_. I've also been on Twitter since, like, 2007. Like, I've had my Twitter for, like, 8 years.
Well, that's amazing.
Yeah. I got on before, like, most people. It's taken all their good names.
Right, right. Cool.
Yeah.
And shows?
Shows, yeah, I've got Lloyd every other Wednesday.
Yeah.
Fancy Man is going to do a reunion tour around DCM at some point.
Nice.
And I'm in this new Christian Capizzoli house team.
With my roommate.
Yeah.
And a couple of people have done his podcast.
Yeah, we have Phoebe, a lot of Scott Beowulf's on there.
Yeah.
And we don't have a name yet. We just started. And we're going to be performing at Under St. Mark's starting Tuesdays, I think, in June.
Nice.
And we don't have a name yet, but since we do a Cat's Cradle, I think we're thinking something. I'm pushing for Nice Nine, because it's an Ice Nine reference from Cat's Cradle, but
yeah.
Nice Nine.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. All right.
Take my other team names we didn't use for this old house, which is, I want it to be called Cute Little Babies. Or, yeah, our backup name was Down to Fax, F-A-X. It was a close.
That's though. As good as Donald Fuck was.
Donald Fuck, what could have been? Which team is that? Was that coworkers?
It was coworkers.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Oh well.
Oh well.
So my plugs quickly @MarkLevy85. If you want to email the show, hgmpod@gmail.com. Also, brand new. I'm on Instagram.
Yeah,
that's sorry.
I saw your fresh new Insta.
Yeah, I have 4 Instagrams on there right now. There'll definitely be a couple more probably by the end of the day. And definitely a lot more by the time this airs on Monday. @MarkLevy85 also.
This airs on Monday.
What?
This airs on Monday.
Yeah.
The 18th.
Yeah.
That'll be my anniversary.
What?
That'll be my anniversary.
Oh, for New York?
Yeah.
That's really fucking cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. What else? Oh, Improv Bingo. At the end of this month, we have confirmed Cunt Garden, which is a really fun team with a lot of people that I love.
Great name.
One of my favorite names.
Great name.
And I love seeing the first half of that name. It's just the first half that you can't really say too often.
Cunt?
I mean, it's just people get offended by it.
Oh.
And also, it's probably the reason why I actually have to have an explicit on every episode.
I say cunt and faggot and bitch and all my improv.
Yeah, but a third of those you can say easily without... Like, it's kind of, you know, it's one of those words. That if
absolutely.
If
I'm not, like, advocating everybody to say cunt.
Whatever, I mean, I don't give a fuck, honestly. Mexican Radio, and I don't know the name of the team, but it's a two-prop team with Sabrina Fonfeder and Nicole Trespel, and it's improv bingo, and it's a fucking party at the Treehouse.
Great.
It'll be Tuesday 26th at 11 p.m. $1 or a drink, and I'm trying to think of any other shows. But me for some stand-up, guys. I'm really intrigued by stand-up right now. It's something I'm really excited by. Devin, this has been a fucking blast.
You're a treasure.
You're more of a treasure than I'll ever be, man.
Stop. You're so good.
Boo. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. This was so fun.
I'm so happy you finally did it.
Yeah, now I'm, like, feeling it. I'm like, let's do another hour.
Like, I will do it, but, like, I mean, like, you have to be at work soon.
I do.
All right. Well, so I'll let you get going.
Okay. Thank you, Mark. All right.
Thanks, Devin.